Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, let me see real quick here if they've got an update. I'm looking at the HelenaIR.com. Nah, no update there. Looking at the BillingsGazette.com. Nah, no update there. Why would you not include this information? Why would you not include the rest of the story? The other side of the story. I mean, look, we do a talk show. This is commentary. We give opinions. And, of course, folks can call in if they agree or disagree. But, I mean, we still do a better job of showing both sides on so many of these issues than some of these so-called news reporters do. Let me do an update on a topic that we covered yesterday here on Montana Talks. I reported on this on our Montana Talks website earlier this week, and then a similar headline was also spotted in the Lee newspapers out of their Capitol Bureau reporters as well. Basically, there's a big United States Supreme Court case that was heard earlier this week. Here's the headline I wrote. Important Supreme Court case for Bozeman and Missoula to watch. Now, it's not just Bozeman and Missoula, but it's particularly important for Bozeman and Missoula. And then the Lee newspapers had a similar headline, which was this. Montana cities watch U.S. Supreme Court case on homeless encampments. And when you read the entire piece on the news page, not on the opinion page, this was on the new page, the whole piece is basically pro-transient propaganda. The whole piece is basically written to appease, to cover for these radical left-wing city governments in Bozeman and Missoula that are allowing for this invasion of transients to occur. So why would you write an entire news story about homeless encampments and the U.S. Supreme Court case and make it a Montana-specific story but not mention some basic facts? Like, why was there no mention of the homeless man who murdered a local gym manager in Kalispell? I mean, the reporter for the Lee newspapers mentioned, in fact, described Kalispell, quote, as the town where a homeless man was beaten to death last year. Well, why didn't they mention the homeless man who murdered a local gym manager? For Bozeman, why didn't they mention the transient who raped a 14-year-old girl? For Missoula and elsewhere, we could give you crime report after crime report after crime report that seemingly comes out on a weekly basis regarding transients in Missoula, but why didn't they include the fact that there's transients defecating in water fountains in city parks in Missoula? Or that a man in Missoula, a good Samaritan in Missoula, decided to take the cleanup into his own hands and started picking up trash and picking up drug needles off the banks of the Clark Fork River. And the city went after him instead of went after the transients. No follow-up report from the Lee newspapers today, but yet they continue to push this pro-transient propaganda.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, no. What is Judge Malloy going to do? What is Judge Malloy going to do? This will be an interesting one to watch. You know, Judge Malloy, the radical environmentalist left-wing judge on the federal bench in Missoula, he's been on the bench since the 1990s. He has single-handedly helped to kill the timber industry here in Montana. He will shut down your jobs in a heartbeat. But when TikTok was threatened, when the communist Chinese had their business threatened, when the state of Montana, when the Republican supermajority in the Montana legislature, and when Governor Greg Gianforte signed into law a bill to ban TikTok, Judge Don Malloy in Missoula jumped right into action to stand up for the communist Chinese and their business, to make sure their business could stay up and running. But boy, that guy will shut down your business in a heartbeat, won't he? So what's he going to do now? I mean, they were able to sneak in to insert what effectively could be a ban on TikTok into this massive foreign aid spending bill, and Biden's going to sign it into law. He should be signing it into law. What is Judge Malloy going to do? Will he still figure out a way to stand up for the communist Chinese and overturn a congressional law signed by the president to basically force TikTok to sell their company to an American owner within the next 9 months to a year, right? It's going to be an interesting one to watch there. But speaking of Don Malloy shutting down your jobs while he stands up for the communist Chinese and their business, he'll shut down your business, but he doesn't want to shut down a communist Chinese-run business. I'm sure you heard the story about the Signal Peak coal mine that I mentioned earlier this week. By the way, phone lines are open for you if you want to jump in on the conversation or you got something you want to talk about. I neglected to mention that in the open of the show. We've got the phone lines open for the full hour here, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal had this in the Monday morning hot sheet. The CEO of the Signal Peak coal mine says the mine is now in, quote, jeopardy. That is the coal mine south of Roundup. Two-thirds of the 260 workers at the Signal Peak mine live in Yellowstone County, according to Pyburn. The company has paid $211 million in taxes over just the past 3 years to Yellowstone and Musselshell counties alone. But the mine is now in jeopardy. Why? Because of U.S. District Judge Don Malloy, who issued a ruling against the Signal Peak coal mine. Mining operations will have to cease at the end of 2025, given the decree in February of 2023 by U.S. District Judge Don Malloy, who said more environmental impact studies must be done. While he said it should take 2 years to do the studies. Can you imagine the federal government actually getting that job done in 2 years, even if they weren't dragging their feet? While he said it should take 2 years to do the studies, the U.S. Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement, which is now under the control of Joe Biden, has not initiated them, prompting speculation that the delay is deliberate. Of course the delay is deliberate. They have made it clear. They have spoken openly about wanting to kill coal. And so, again, this just goes right back to my point that you have these left-wing federal judges like Don Malloy that will shut down your business in a heartbeat, but then just as quickly, they will stand up for a communist Chinese business known as TikTok. I got another example that I want to share with you here, because not only do they have liberal judges in their back pocket to issue rulings on their behalf, there's another concept known as sue and settle. And there's a new headline out today in the Helena IR that I want to tell you about. But first, let's go to your phone calls. We got Jim in Great Falls first up. Jim, good to hear from you. What's going on?
I just wanted to say the other night on the local news in Great Falls, they had a story about a bunch of people volunteering to clean up along the Clark Fork. So I wondered about the hypocrisy and the other guy getting arrested for it.
Well, it's Earth Day, so you got a virtue signal one day out of the year to pretend that you care about the environment. That guy that picks up the trash every other day, no way, fine him, all right?
Yeah. I mean, come on, this is getting old. People trying to clean up things and then go and get arrested for it. Well, I got a fertilizer truck here, so I got to go back to work.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, somebody better work. Somebody's got to pay for all those illegal aliens out there, Jim, so get to work.
Everybody's arguing about a 32-hour work week when we're out here 7 days a week, 24/7 all year round, so everybody can eat.
That's right. That's right. Well, keep working. Chop, chop. We got illegal aliens to pay for, Jim, so keep farming. All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's why I always have to laugh, you know, when it's a 40 below and then somebody cranks up the heat to like 90 degrees in the office and they're like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have dressed for the weather. But then you quickly realize, you know what? I shouldn't be complaining about the heat or the cold right now because, you know, there's folks outside construction, agriculture, you name it, who 40 below, 110 above, they're still getting the job done for us. So nothing to complain about here. All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Robert in Belgrade, first up after the break, and we got phone lines open for you as well. Let's see. Conservation groups, sure, and the U.S. Forest Service reach settlement over middleman project. Sue and settle. Another way the deep state gives your money to these radical environmental groups.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So Janet in Billings, she was driving through Billings. She called our producer, Travis, with a really good question here. And it actually ties in with this other story that I wanted to talk with you about. So I was talking about the Signal Peak coal mine, 260 Signal Peak coal mine jobs threatened here in Montana as a result of Judge Malloy and the Biden administration, combined here. And Janet had a really good question here. What will happen to our taxes if Signal Peak closes? $211 million for Yellowstone and Musselshell counties just in the last 3 years alone. What happens if we lose that $211 million? Right, very good question there from Janet in Billings, which also ties in with, think about this, the natural gas power plant that isn't even up and running in Laurel yet. Northwestern Energy is already paying a whole bunch of property taxes for that property. So it has helped the people of Laurel keep their taxes lower because you've got this massive industrial taxpayer now paying more money into the system. It's a very good point, very good question there from Janet in Billings. And that ties in with my other point, is that these so-called environmentalists, the climate kids who claim to be concerned about carbon dioxide, if they were actually concerned about carbon dioxide, they wouldn't be opposing a natural gas power plant. Natural gas is the reason we lowered our CO2 emissions in America, but yet they're filing amicus briefs in opposition to a natural gas power plant. They don't care about carbon dioxide. They just care about shutting down your jobs. Case in point here again, conservation groups in the U.S. Forest Service reach a settlement over the middleman project. Here you have this radical environmental group, the Alliance for the Wild Rockies, who said they are thrilled that the Forest Service agreed to settle this case. They're bragging, we stopped over 110 miles of road construction in the forest and reconstruction, and we stopped over 5,000 acres of logging. They are bragging about shutting down a forest health project. And they are bragging about the fact that their buddies in the Forest Service settled with them and is still going to give your taxpayer dollars to pay their attorney's fees. If these environmentalists cared about carbon dioxide, they would not be filing lawsuits and reaching settlements to shut down forest health projects like this. Because what happens when the forests go up in smoke? They release a lot of CO2 and a whole bunch of other things, don't they? Let's go to Robert in Belgrade. Robert, what's going on?
Well, the government doesn't have any money at all. They just manage our money. And they're not doing a very good job of that. We're how far in debt. But anyway, they want to tell us how to run our business with minimum wages and discounted housing that we pay for. There's not one agency that they run at any kind of efficiency, not one. And then they want to tell us how to do our stuff. Unbelievable.
Good point.
You know, I'm a businessman, was a businessman, a veteran. I've given people an education through the 12th grade and freedom since before this country with guns. We gave them their freedoms, and they want to take away our freedoms, you know, and it's just unbelievable the way this country is running.
No, you're exactly right. And somebody made this point. You know, there's this, the Department of Interior, you know, they're in a trademark dispute with the Glacier Range Riders baseball team in Kalispell. And even though the Biden Interior Department got rejected by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and said, no, the baseball team's fine, leave them alone, they're still trying to fight this fight. They are still trying to fight this fight. And somebody made a great point. They said they're using our money to fight a baseball team in our communities. And, you know, they're using our taxpayer dollars to fight a baseball team in Kalispell, Montana. That shows you how nuts this current administration is. All right, Robert, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to, let's see, Jeff in Billings. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. I like Nancy up there and around. That's my mother's name. Okay. And I'm kind of glad she bumped into some illegals. I got stories I could tell her and you. But anyway, I got a postcard about 3 weeks ago, and the font on the front of it looks like a wanted poster, and it says, wanted you to be a voter. Reward for your vote will be heard. It says, public records show that you may not be registered to vote, or your registration needs to be updated, e.g. address or name change. Now, at the bottom of the card, after it tells you how to vote and get ballots through the mail forever in the future, in red ink it says, please register to vote and share this card with friends, Julie. Now, the postmark is from Austin, Texas, okay? And it's mailed to my mother, Nancy, and she's never lived here. She's been dead for 8 years. She's in the Roundup Cemetery right now, turning over in her grave. Now, my wife had a novel idea the other day. She said, let's scan the QR code and re-register to vote. But see, she was a staunch Democrat. So I think she's going to turn over in a grave on that one. Is this ballot harvesting that the Democrats do?
Well, ballot harvesting technically is when they show up and go door to door and, hey, can I pick up your ballot for you? And can I bring it to the elections office for you? Remember, they were really creepily doing that in Park County in the Livingston area, where you had these left wing special interest groups going door to door asking you to give them your ballot. And I think it was Jeff Essman at the time made a very good point that these special interest groups know who you're likely to vote for. They have all sorts of data. Yeah. That's why they have a tablet, an electronic tablet with them when they show up at your door, because they know who you are. They know where you already lean politically. So, and then here they are asking you to give them your ballot. It really shady stuff. So that's ballot harvesting. But what you're referring to, I think, is, okay, so they're sending out all these ballots to all these people. I remember in the 2020, I had a guy from Polson call in, and he said they had a ballot show up at his house for his ex-wife, and they'd been divorced for 20 years. And so they're sending all these ballots out to all these people and then removing signature verification in key precincts, all sorts of shenanigans that took place.
Public records show that you may not be registered. She's been dead for 8 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, that's why for anybody out there to say, oh, come on, there was nothing wrong with the 2020 election. Oh, for Pete's sake, they ignored or removed signature verification laws. There were all sorts of shenanigans that took place in that election. And look at the harm that has happened to America since that point. All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Next up, let's go to Don in Billings. Don, what's going on?
Hi, Aaron. Well, what bothers me is all this talk. And the bottom line is, it's not how you vote. It's how the vote is counted. If I watched a video, 45-minute video, in that issue in Maricopa County with Terry Lake. And short version is, this guy pointed out all the fraud and everything going on, sent it over to the federal courts, and they rejected it for lack of evidence. After watching that, it was like, holy mackerel. And even Mark Levine brought it up the other day. So how can, I'll just say, you assure me that my vote is going to be counted correctly? And so then add on donations and all that. You donate a whole bunch of money, and if your vote is yes means no type thing, anyway, what a mess.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of funny. I can't remember if this was a year ago or when it was, but, you know, the Gallatin County Commissioners, they have repeatedly voted themselves a pay raise. The Gallatin County Commissioners constantly give themselves pay raises, right? And then one of those Gallatin County Commissioners, we were chatting back and forth via Twitter. I shared something, or no, he said something about, how could you expect us to count all of these ballots by hand? And I replied that day, I think it was like days after, was it the French elections? I said, you had an entire country just hand count ballots. And they got the numbers back very quickly. If an entire country can do it, how come one single little county can't do it? And then you got the growly response back. But it's like, an entire country can do hand counting of paper ballots, but you can't do it in your county? Anyways, crazy. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Next up, let's go to Susan in Missoula. Susan, great to hear from you.
Hey, how are you, Aaron?
I'm doing great.
I am calling because two young women in Missoula, Montana, have organized a huge Get Out the Vote Bash, a rally with Donald J. Trump Jr. this Sunday, April 28th, at the University of Montana, the bastion of liberalism, for all conservatives to show up and greet Donald J. Trump Jr. along with Governor Gianforte, Representative Ryan Zinke, Tim Sheehy, and bunches of other candidates that are all conservative, and it's going to be at the UC Ballroom. You know it well because you graduated from there. And tickets are still available. We need to have
Donald Trump Jr. is going to the belly of the beast in the UC. Oh, man, they're going to be triggered over that one. Hey, Susan, stand by. I got to hit a hard break here in about 8 seconds. Susan in Missoula, stand by. We'll come back to you right after this. I love that Don Jr. is going to the UC. Even better.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
A few weeks ago, the Biden administration finalized three rules rolling back changes made to the Endangered Species Act during the Trump administration. The ESA was a very important topic for cattle producers in Washington, D.C. last week attending the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's legislative conference. Now, two of these rule changes include reinstating the blanket 4D rule and allowing the government to designate critical habitat designations in areas where species may or may not live. NCBA's Ethan Lane.
If we pile enough dirt on this coffee table, the case could be made under the Endangered Species Act as it was written in the Obama administration that that habitat has the potential to support a species. And because the potential is there, that's definitely critical habitat. Well, I think we can all agree sitting in this room, this coffee table should not be critical habitat for anything, right?
The third rule disregards the economic impact of ESA listing decisions. Montana Stockgrowers President John Grandy said the administration has made no effort in updating the delisting of species once they are recovered as well.
They keep talking about more recovery of the wolf. Well, obviously the wolf is quite well recovered. We can't seem to get the grizzly delisted, and now we're listing the wolverine with, as near as we can tell, absolutely zero sound science behind that. They don't know how many wolverines there are. They don't know if it's more or less than there were 10 or 20 years ago.
I'm Lane Northblatt.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I love this phone call from Susan Campbell Renault in Missoula. Just known Susan for years. What a great American patriot. But I love it because I wonder, Tom Winter. Has Tom Winter said anything about the pro-Hamas terrorist protesters on the Columbia campus? Has he said anything about these left-wing pro-Hamas activists jabbing Jewish students in the eye with Palestinian flags, holding up signs calling for terror groups to target these Jewish students or these pro-Israel students on these college campuses? Has he said anything about that speech and that type of violent behavior taking place on college campuses? Because I remember seeing Tom Winter. He was one of the candidates in the Democrat primary for Congress a couple of times. I remember when he jumped on Twitter and called on the University of Montana president to block Donald Trump Jr. from being allowed on campus. And it's like, I don't think he said squat about these violent anti-Semitic protesters out there. But anyway, well, Susan, yeah, you were saying you're not only are people going to go to the event, but you're encouraging people to be outside and show support for Donald Trump Jr. at this event.
No. I really want them to come because we need people to buy tickets. This is going to help our conservative candidates. I don't want them out front. No. I want them in the ballroom.
Oh, okay, yeah.
With Donald Trump. This is a meet and greet. This will be an opportunity for conservatives to be up front and personal, getting autographs, getting selfies, mingling and talking with Donald J. Trump and all of our top flight elected officials. They can go directly to mac-pac.com, or they can call me. And I'm going to give them my email at Blue Mountain, all one word, lowercase, spelled out, Blue Mountain App Montana, spelled out, .com. I'm not going to give my phone number out because sometimes I get crazies.
Well, especially in Missoula, you know that the crazies, they've got their anti-Semitic pro-Hamas people in Missoula. Remember when they put the Palestinian flag during Cat Grizz up there? I mean, they've got their left-wing wackos, but we've also got a ton of great American patriots in Missoula as well. So it's going to be a cool event.
Well, and I'm going to tell you what, we have, believe it or not, Aaron, we have some very patriotic flag-waving media and press people that are coming. And not all media are bad guys. You're
That's
certainly
right.
one of them. And people with KPACs and KECI and KGVO and even the Missoulian are very patriotic, very excited. This is a historic coming together of not only Donald J. Trump Jr., who is probably one of the most courageous people I know, is going to talk about the Second Amendment, the importance of carrying a weapon to protect yourself and others. He's also going to talk about current affairs. But we also are going to have all of our most important leaders of the Republican Party and the conservative movement there at that event, mingling with voters. So I really want, I don't want voters outside. I want
get
them
inside and help the candidates. Well, thanks for calling in, Susan. That'll be a great event. We just got to see Donald Trump Jr. He joined us at the SHOT Show down in Las Vegas alongside Governor Gianforte. And so he's always fun to catch up with. He's just such a down-to-earth guy. You know, he loves hunting and fishing in Montana. He was doing that long before his dad was ever a presidential candidate, nonetheless president. And by the way, Susan, you reminded me, the other guy that's going to be coming with Donald Trump Jr. is Alex Brusewitz. Great young conservative guy I've had on the show before, and you reminded me. I should send him a quick message and see if he wants to join us on the show, maybe Don Jr. as well. So I just sent Alex Brusewitz a message during the break. He already got back to me. He's going to be with us tomorrow on the show. So, Susan, thanks for the reminder. There you go. Joe in Saco next up on the phone lines. Joe, what's going on?
Well, I just want to keep talking about Pastor and his bad deals. talked about how he worked with the Republicans to secure the border. He ain't done nothing for the border. He talks to the rhinos. He voted to stop the border wall. He votes for every trillion bill. It's bad for Montana. And let's wake up Montana and vote him out.
I hear you. Well, you know, you're in Saco, and you know, I think about it. I remember when we got a call from Saco, you know, and John Tester claims, oh, I supported the Keystone XL pipeline. Well, you had the power to get it done, and you didn't use your power. But also, he was the deciding vote. He voted against the Keystone pipeline when it mattered most. And I'll never forget getting a phone call from Saco, and one of our listeners said, you know what? I'm looking out my window right now, and they are pulling the pipe out of the ground. Not only did Joe Biden bring the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline to a halt, but remember, some of the pipe was already in the ground. Some of the roads to build that pipeline were already built. And not only did they want to halt construction of it, they wanted to make sure that it would never have the opportunity to get up and running again. And so here, people, just like Joe and Seiko, they had to just sit there and watch as the pipe that would have brought millions of dollars every year into their communities was pulled out of the ground right in front of them. Joe, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number if you want to jump in on the conversation. Open phones. Anybody gets to call in. Stacy Zinn next up on the phone line. She's one of the candidates for the Eastern Congressional District in the Republican primary. Used to head up the DEA here in Montana, one of my favorite people here in Montana. Stacy, thanks for calling in.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How's the campaign trail?
Campaign trail is going well, but I'm taking a breather to get back to the community members and talk about the drugs cartels and the terrorist actions that are crossing into our southwest border. So yeah. I'm going to be... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say go ahead. But, yeah, because I somebody had sent it to me, and then I think you sent it as well. There's an event coming up where you're kind of like an informational meeting talking about the drug cartels right here in Montana, right?
Absolutely. So on April 25th in Great Falls at the Public Library between 5:30 and 7:30, I'm going to be up there talking about the drugs that are in the general area, why the drugs are up there, the types of different cartels that are in Montana. And then I'll hit on the individuals that are crossing into our southwest border, because power is knowledge. Knowledge is power. And we need to continue to educate the public of what's going on in our streets. Then on April 27th on Saturday in Billings at 2 p.m. at the public library, we are also doing the same conversation. And then we're shifting it up to Helena. Unfortunately, it's going to be on the same day as the Missoula event, but it's April 25th. Between 2 and 5 p.m. at the Helena Library, again, talking about the drug cartels and the drugs.
So, Stacy, I think I mentioned this to you. If I didn't, I should have mentioned it to you. So when I was down at UFC 300 in Vegas, I ran into Andy Stumpf. He's a Navy SEAL. He's got a popular podcast, kind of national podcast, but he lives in the Flathead. But he had a guy on his show named John Norris. I interviewed John Norris a couple years ago. He was a fish and game officer out in California battling the drug cartels on public lands over there. But he now lives in Montana as well. But I listened on the way down to Vegas for UFC 300. I listened to a podcast that the two of them produced. And they actually mentioned you. And the whole reason they did their podcast focus on the drug cartels targeting reservations in Montana was because they saw your quotes in that NBC News article. And so... I just, you know, you're having an impact with what you're doing.
Well, it's been amazing because I got a call from D.C. They wanted me to testify last week, I believe last week or week before last, pertaining to how the cartels are encroaching on the reservations here in Montana. I had already had an event here in south side of Billings to talk about the drug movements here. So I had I didn't go to D.C. because of my commitment. I gave my word. But you'll be amazed at all the different types of outreach that's taking a place, different magazines, people from Australia calling. They want to know what is going on in Montana, what's going on with the cartels, what's going on with the reservations. And that's why I am very passionate about sharing the information, because we need we need to hyper-focus on. We don't have enough law enforcement footprint in the state of Montana. We don't have enough drug agents. And the people are coming. The cartels are here, and they are not going to slow down. We have to push back.
That's right. Well, and I want to pat you on the back. If people missed what Stacy just said right there, she committed to an event at the senior center on, what, the south side of Billings. She was invited to testify before Congress. She turned that opportunity down because she made a commitment to the Billings South Side. That's a big deal.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
If you call in right now, I should be able to get to you before we wrap up the hour. 406-294-0970. Phone lines are open. Anybody who wants to call in, the show is called Montana Talks for a reason. And then tomorrow, we got a very big show coming up for you tomorrow. General Michael Flynn. He is in on Sunday. You know, Susan in Missoula talked about Donald Trump Jr. being in Missoula Sunday late morning / afternoon. Sunday night, General Michael Flynn is in Billings, and I'll be there for that event. But General Flynn is going to join us live at 9:40 tomorrow. And then, as you just heard, hey, with Don Jr. and Alex Brusewitz in Missoula this Sunday, I reached out to Alex Brusewitz. He'll be with us tomorrow at 9:10. So big show lined up for you tomorrow. Stacy's in. We got cut off by the break there. But anyway, what else did you want to share with listeners across the state?
No, I want the communities to know what is going on, and it is important that the mama bears out there know what their students are facing at school. They need to know about the social media issues with people actually selling drugs on social media or trying to entice these kids. I've been at Ben's Field doing back-to-back drug presentations, and you'd be amazed at what the kids know. Last thing I want to say is that also I'm seeing an uptick of cough medicine usage being taking place in the parks and stuff. I'm seeing a lot of empty containers. So, again, the mama bears need to know what the kids are possibly doing and what they're experimenting with.
Yeah, well said. Those school presentations are so important. That's what, John Norris was telling Andy Stumpf. He was saying, you know, kids will think because they got a pill bottle, looks like a normal prescription drug, it looks legit, pill bottle. They'll pull a pill out of there, they'll take it at these parties, and they won't know that that's actually, you know, a dirty fentanyl coming from the communist Chinese and the Mexican drug cartels. And kids just don't know that. So Stacy Zinn, thanks for what you're doing. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970. Next up, let's go to Rick on the High Line. Rick, thanks for the call.
Yeah, long time listener, Aaron. It's good to talk to you.
Hey, good to talk with you. Thanks for calling.
Hey, so with yesterday being Earth Day, or no, that was Monday, I'm just kind of wondering why, you know, the Democrats can't figure out how to get more recycled materials into their green products. Wouldn't it be, you know, more advisable if they passed a law that said 30% of all new products have to have recycled materials in them? Wouldn't that build a more better world and give more jobs, actually?
The challenge with mandates, though, is that sometimes they can have unintended consequences and sometimes can lead to less efficiencies and actually be worse when it comes to the environment or more materials. But sometimes in theory, it sounds good, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in theory, that'd be good. It's just their wind turbine blades, you know. They've got a shelf life for how long. You can only use them, and then you end up burying them, and they don't break down. Nothing happens to them, so... just turn into field dirt.
Oh, yeah. Energy is a perfect example of where they claim to be helping the environment. They claim to care more about the environment than the rest of us, when in reality their policies are actually worse for the environment and worse for costs all around.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you completely. But just wanted to throw that out there, and it might spark an idea in somebody. So.
All right. Appreciate it, Rick. Yeah, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, let's go to Terry in Kalispell. Terry, what's going on?
Good morning. Thanks, Aaron, for taking my call. I would love to have all of you wonderful radio people and television people to remind people to be very respectful when they go to speak to commissioners and when they're going to help police and get involved, but to make sure you're doing it respectfully so that they don't have cause to come after us, but to stand up for what's right and get in and help.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, we certainly don't want to be like these radical leftists and the BLM riots and the George Floyd riots and the Columbia University, you know, riots where they're fighting with law enforcement. Was there an example where you saw somebody on another side of the topic that didn't handle it the right way?
No, sir. Just looking at all the news and, you know, all around the cities and what happened in Seattle and on and on and on. And no, just back up our law enforcement crazily. Back up our commissioners. Go to those meetings on Monday nights or whenever they are in their city. And stand up for them, support them, and say, how can we help? And we need to help now, clean to next January.
All right. Well, Terry, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to Peter in Big Fork. Peter, what's going on?
Yeah, good morning. Just want a voice, a strong voice. That we look at history and we want to tell our elected representatives and Mr. Zinke and all those others that are going to have voices for us in Washington and across the country that you do not negotiate with terrorists. The only way that terrorists start winning at all is when you start negotiating with them. The proper response for terrorism and terrorist activities such as these we see in our college campuses is to meet it with quiet strength. And don't slip and slide simply because there are pressures that lead in that direction. You know, terrorists must not be dealt with on any kind of a conciliatory basis.
Yeah, the fact that they are allowing these people to, you know, treat these Jewish students or other supporters of Israel the way that they are, when clear violence is taking place and they're fighting with law enforcement, it is so despicable. I agree with General Jack Keane. I think it is an embarrassment to our country what is taking place on these college campuses right now. Yeah. All right, Alex Brusewitz and General Michael Flynn tomorrow on the show.